Going to read just two verses here this evening. Take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6. We'll stand. We'll read them responsively. We'll read them together. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11. We'll read them together. Very short verses, very familiar passage, I know, but I will be going through several passages tonight. I want to try to get through all this here this evening, but so we'll talk a little bit about a concern that I see today in Christianity. And so here is Ephesians chapter 6, and we will read verses 10 and 11 together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for this time that we get to gather together for preaching, Lord. I pray, God, Holy Spirit, that you'd use me this evening. Give me clarity this evening, Lord, as I'm a little weary here, but I just pray, God, you just give me strength. Pray you'd open every heart, Father. I pray, Father, you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message tonight is Hold On Tight and Don't Quit. Hold on tight and don't quit. I think some don't really realize the present danger that's going on in Christianity today. We are a very spoiled society when you think about it. We're very spoiled. And we ought to thank God for the things that we have. I mean, the nice cars that we have, the homes that we live in, the stuff that we can attain, and that's not all bad. I've said 100 times, I'll say it 100 times more, all that stuff is bad when we put it in the way of Jesus Christ and serving him. But there's a present danger tonight, and that is just simply people quitting. Just quitting. Giving up. Not wanting to press on the upward way and pressing on for the things of the Lord. It will be very simple. I'm going to be to the point this evening. I will be sharing several scriptures along the way. But I know our text is very familiar, but we need to understand tonight, church, there is a spiritual battle going on. The devil wants to do everything he can to destroy families. He wants to do everything he can to destroy you young people. And you young people, you ought to sit up. You ought to grab a hold of this tonight, because let me tell you something. The devil's going to do everything he can to try to keep you from being what God he wants you to be. You know what, you teenagers, you young people, you've made some decisions. I see you come forward. I don't know necessarily what decisions you make here at the altar, but you've made some holy decisions between you and God, and the devil do everything he can to whisper in your ear and say, God's not listening to you. You don't need to keep that. You don't need to be so square, so to speak. You don't need to go ahead and live by the book. You don't need to obey authority. He'll do everything he can. Very, very tricky he is. The wiles of the devil, he's very, very tricky. And he'll try to slither his way into your life, teenager. He'll try to slither his way into your life, into your home, family, if you're not careful. Tonight we need to equip ourselves with the armor. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time with this familiar passage tonight, because I'm going to be going back and forth a little bit. But you read on this chapter, Paul reveals to us the necessary armor and equipment that's needed to beat the old devil. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm mad at the devil. I'm angry with what he's doing. I'm angry with what he's trying to do to churches. I'm angry with what he's trying to do with... And by the way, it's okay to be angry and sin not, okay? This is justifiable anger, if you want. I'm sick and tired what he's trying to do to independent Baptist churches. I'm sick and tired what he's trying to do to homes. Sick and tired what he's trying to do to your kids. Sick and tired of him trying to literally push God out of the public school system and push God out of everything. Here in a little while at Christmas time, it's going to be holidays. They're doing everything they can to take away the word Christmas. That does bother me. That really does bother me. It is Christmas. And people say, well, happy holidays, because they want to be politically correct. I just respond back, Merry Christmas. Amen. That's what it is, by the way. But you know what? We have the necessary tools. We have the necessary armor available to go ahead and beat the devil. The reason why so many people quit is our failure to put on the armor. This is the reason why there's so many people that are just falling by the way. I'm talking about good, godly Christian people that were excited like you were at one time. And tonight your excitement, boy, you better do everything you can to stay excited. The devil do anything he can to try to keep you from being excited about the preaching and being excited about the Sunday school class and being excited about your ministry. He'll do everything he can to keep you from being excited about the Word of God. He'll do everything he can to keep you parents from rearing your kids for right and doing right. He'll do everything he can to do anything he can to get you to go ahead and quit on God. The reason why so many people quit, the reason why our church houses aren't packed out like they ought to be. Boy, there was a day when people got it, they realized that it was priority to be in church. It was priority. I mean, it was the thing to do. They knew they were where they were going to be on Sunday. They didn't have to, it was no decision about it. They did, well, you know, if I have time. No, there was no decision about it. They knew where they were going to be. And the devil did everything he can to try to water down the churches and the homes. But we need to keep us from quitting. We need to go ahead and put on the armor of God. The reason why failure comes as a Christian to the Christian is we fail to put forth the effort to put on the armor. It's a lot of work, isn't it? You know, the Christian, you know, everything worthwhile takes work. You know what? I just happen to think living right and doing right and being a good Christian, it's worthwhile. I think it's worthwhile. You know what? But it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work putting on the armor of God. You got to go ahead and make sure thing that is latched on tight. It takes work to go ahead and, you know, I just happen to think raising my kids for right is worthwhile. You know, I'm not going to go ahead and just, well, I'll just go ahead and see what happens with them. You know, I'll just do the best I can. No. You know, it takes work to go ahead and lead your children for what to do right. It takes work to go ahead and rear them. It takes work. And the reason why it's worthwhile, man, it's worthwhile to go ahead and raise them kids for right. It's worthwhile, moms and dads, to get your children in church and not just drop them off. You ought to be there with them. You ought to be serving along beside them. Let me just say this. The teenager, the child, ought not be the leader as far as Christian service is concerned. Let me just say that again. The child or the teenager ought not be the leader as far as your Christian service is concerned. What I mean by that is the truth, you know, how often I've seen it, and I, you know, don't misunderstand, I am excited when I see teenagers get busy for God. I'm excited when I hear, you know, I'll just say this. They're doing a great job. They're filling in for Miss Judy. Courtney, I'm just going to say it. They can shoot me later. Courtney and Joel have taken Miss Judy's class for the time being. And you know, it blesses my heart. I know that behind the scenes, before Sunday, there's effort there. I know it. You know, every single Saturday night, I can count on the craft that they're going to do coming up. And I'm going to see it. I'm going to see the craft they're going to do. And you know what? And basically, Courtney will say, this is what, the theme is this, and so forth and so on. You know, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I'm glad that our teenagers are involved. I'm glad to see our teenagers riding a bus, leading the songs. I'm glad to see our teenagers serving in a junior church. But you know what? It's a sad state when we allow our teenagers and allow our kids to get ahead of us, if you will, as far as our Christian service. You know what? Moms and dads, we ought to be the leaders. We ought to be the ones encouraging them. We ought to be the ones that not only are they busy, but we ought to be leading ourselves into being busy in the ministry somewhere so that your kid sees that, your child, if you will, sees that you're busy in the ministry, and it makes them want to say, you know what, my mom and daddy, you know, boy, it's a good thing when you go to a funeral and you have maybe a daddy or whatever, and don't misunderstand the good thing part, but the daddy, if you will, a good Christian man, if you will, passes away, and you hear a son or daughter say, he was a great example to me. You could go ahead and count. I could count on my daddy being in church. I could count on my mama being in church. I could count on them being in the choir. I could count on them being in their ministry, doing their ministry. You know what? They led me to go ahead and serve God. You know, that's not a bad thing. It ought to be that way, by the way, but it seems like it's all mixed up today. The young people, you know what? Yes, we want to encourage the young people to do right, but the truth of the matter is, I don't want my children getting ahead of me. Don't misunderstand me. I don't want them to get ahead of me as far as my Christian service. Now, I ought to be leading them, and I ought to be in such a way that I'm excited about my ministry, and I just happen to believe, as far as leadership, you know, if I get excited about the things of God, they're going to be excited, and they're going to want to serve God. You know, our teenagers, I thank you for your work, but boy, moms and dads and adults, boy, we ought to get active and get busy in the church. We ought to find ourselves in Christian service somewhere along the way. You know, it's not that hard. And you know, and I'm not saying you have to go ahead and necessarily get up behind a podium and speak. I'm not saying you have to go ahead and do some things that you're not comfortable with. But you know what? There is something that we all can do here at Faith Baptist Church. There's something, you know what, it might be cleaning for a month. It might be singing in the choir. It might be learning to play the piano. I don't know. It might be whatever the case. It might be working a nursery. Might be teaching a Sunday school class. It might be whatever. But the truth of the matter is, we ought to busy and be faithful about what God wants us to do. We ought to be active. We ought to be busy in the things of God. But we don't feel like it. You know what? We fail to go ahead and put on the armor. We kind of get nonchalant about the Christian life. We just kind of, whatever. You know, and the truth of the matter is, you know what? Failure comes to Christians because we fail to put forth the effort to put on the armor that is necessary. You know what? You know what encourages me is when I get up in the morning, knowing that I got to preach, but knowing I get to ride a bus and so on. That encourages me. Yeah, at first, I tell you, sometimes Sunday, oh man, gotta wake up and slap yourself a little bit and kick that alarm clock because you know it woke you up and so forth. But let me tell you something, boy, it really gets me excited when I come over here. I open up the Word of God and I get my mind in focus for the service, and then I know that in just a little while I'm going to get on a bus and I get to see my bus kids. That excites me. You know what? That just it's putting on that arm, if you will. It makes me say, man, I'm excited about the ministry. I'm excited about my church. I'm excited about serving God. God, use me and allow me to be used in every way that you want me to be used. But you know what? Often we go ahead and we fail. We quit. We have no desire. We lose our strength. We're sapped out, if you will. Our joy is gone. Simply, you know the reason? Simply because we don't put on the armor. Paul instructs it right here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the, you know what, we don't need quitters today. We need people that are just get on the front lines and fight for the Lord and fight against the devil and fight against evil. Our winning is determined by our character. It takes work to do right. It takes work to put on that armor. I'm encouraging tonight, church, you know what? You know what? And this is not necessarily the sermon to preach on a Sunday night, because if you're here on a Sunday night, that pretty much means you want to be. You know, you took time, you're here Sunday morning, you're in your place Sunday morning, you're doing your thing Sunday morning, and you're back Sunday night. But let me tell you something, this is a crowd, if we're not careful, this is a crowd that the devil likes to put as much oppression and put as much pressure on, because he knows that you're serving, he knows that you're excited, he knows that you want to raise your children for right, he knows that you love the church, he knows that you love preaching, he knows that you're you want to live for God and you want to do right. And if we're not careful, we may think, well, preacher, you know what, that's not necessary for me. Sunday morning I'm here, Sunday night I'm here, even mostly on Wednesday nights I'm here. This message really isn't for me. Hey, you know what? The moment that we say that, we better be careful. The moment that we start thinking, well, man, I'll go ahead and tuck this sermon in for now and so forth. I don't need it right now and so forth. But you know, the moment that you start thinking, well, I don't think I really need this tonight. You know, I am one of the faithful crowds. So that's good. But will you be faithful down the road? The very moment you start getting comfortable, the very moment that you start saying, well, I'm okay, everything's all right and so forth. The very moment, you know what, that tells me you're starting to kind of loosen up the armor. Starting to get a little bit comfortable. Hey, you know what we need? You know what? And by the way, when you start doing that, it will not be long before you start falling away. I've seen some of the finest Christians, listen to me, I've seen some of the finest Christians fall to the devil's whisper, get a little bit comfortable in their position, get a little bit comfortable in their ministry. I've even seen preachers go ahead and get a little bit too comfortable. And you know what? Today you say, where are they? Where are they? You know, it all started because they got comfortable. It all started because they started loosening up the armor. It all started because they didn't go ahead and latch on the armor. It all started because maybe they got a little bit tired. They got comfortable. You know what? We will tire of the battle. I know that it can be a battle to stand for right at the workplace. I know that it can be a battle to stand for right as far as keeping our church, a Bible-believing, independent, fundamental Baptist church. You know, there can be pressure out there kind of changing your music and so forth and changing the Word of God. Hey, you know what? It can be a battle out there. But let me tell you something. I want to do all to stand as the Bible says. I'm going to keep on as pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I'm going to go ahead and put on the whole armor. And what we need some soldiers. We need some church members who say, you know, every single day, I'm not going to get comfortable. I don't want to fall in the danger of comfortability. I'm going to put on the whole armor. I'm going to give the Christian life all I've got. Hey, I'm going to hold on tight, and I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. Are we going to put on the armor today or not? You know, if we don't, we lose. If we fail to put on the armor, we lose. If we fail to put on the armor, you know what? We're a perfect target for the devil. You know what? If not careful, you're going to start saying, I don't feel like it today. I don't think I don't want to read my Bible today. Truth of the matter is, right there in that list of armor, the only offensive weapon there is the Word of God. You know, every single day, you know, the Bible says, you know, you need to take the Word of God. This is your offensive weapon. This is a weapon that you need to help fight off the devil, to spear the devil and spear his evil cronies, if you will. Hey, you know what? You need to get in the Word of God. I don't want to read my Bible, but if you're not careful, you won't put on the armor. I don't want to read my Bible today. I don't need this piece today because things are going so well. So easy to let your guard down when things are going great, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Bills are paid. Life is good. Your car's running excellent. Got food in the fridge. You got food in the cupboard. Wife's happy. Kids are happy. Boy, everything's wonderful. Boy, you know what? It's so hard to go ahead and keep your guard up. It's so hard to put on the armor. It's so hard to concentrate on the things of God sometimes when things are going so well. You know, we better be careful about comfortability. You know, we don't need this peace today. It is when we get comfortable with where we are that we begin to fail. We go along. Things are going good. We feel good about things. Things are going very, very well. And we start getting a little nonchalant about our Christianity. Well, you know, that show's not too bad. Well, what's the difference? It's only the Bible, you know, whatever. You know, that dress or that clothing, it's not all that bad. You better be very careful. You know, the very moment, that song's not too bad. They mumbled Jesus in it once. You know what I'm talking about. You know, let me just say this about music. You know, I love good music. But I don't need worldly music to go ahead and move my flesh and, you know, me start dancing around. You know what? You listen to, you know, this morning, I tell you, choir was singing Dwelling in Beulah Land. I was ready to just jump out of my, I was ready to have a spell. Dwelling in Beulah Land. The song that they sang, We Serve a Mighty God as far as our offering. Boy, I tell you, and listen to the songs, and singing the songs of the hymns today, boy, it was just blessing my gizzard real well. You know what? I don't need the worldly music. I don't need the contemporary Christian music to go ahead and move me. You know what? You listen to the right music. You know, the Holy Spirit will start moving in you. You know, and when the Holy Spirit, when you listen to that music and you let the Holy Spirit move in your heart, you know what? You'll get excited. It's okay to get excited. You know, that's what I'm talking about as far as you good. You know what? You ought to get yourself a good dose of good music in your car. You ought to get yourself a good dose of good music in your home and so forth. And you put yourself in that. You know, I need to go ahead and have the Christian rock and start dancing around. You know, that's all fleshly. But let me tell you something. You know what? You can get excited. I get excited. My soul gets blessed when I listen to Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, Victory in Jesus. We Serve a Mighty God, Dwelling in Beulah Land. Boy, the spirit of, and my spirit starts moving. My spirit gets excited because the Holy Spirit's moving inside my heart, and I start yelling amen. I start getting excited about the things of God. I start having a spiritual fit, if you will. Hey, you know what? You get yourself a dose of good music, but you know what? If you're not careful, well, that song, that's not that bad. You know, the boogie-oogie and kind of music, it's not all that bad. The honky-tonk kind of music, that's not all that bad. That Bible, you know, it's not all that bad. No, we got to stick with the Word of God, the pure Word of God, the inspired, preserved Word of God. Hey, you know what? We need to stick with the Word of God. We have the Bible tonight. You need to go ahead and use it. You need to go ahead and memorize it. You need to make it a lamp under thy feet. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you got to put on the armor. Hold on tight. If you don't hold on, you're going to quit. You're going to be a casualty. Hey, you know what? Don't start getting to a point where I don't feel like it. It's not that bad. The result's going to gradually remove yourself from where God wants you to be. The battle rages. We have no strength. What do? We flee. We fail to go to the front lines. We fail to show up for battle. And the problems begin. Hey, remember David? Remember David, King David? He failed to go ahead and show up to work. He failed to go to the, he was tired or whatever the case may be. He didn't go up and fight. And so he took the day off. He went onto the rooftop. What happened? Bathsheba. Took time off. He saw Bathsheba up there bathing. He started lusting after her. Went ahead and had an affair with her. Had a baby with her. And it just went all downhill from there for David. What happened? He got comfortable. He didn't show up. He didn't put on the whole armor that day. And as a result, he lusted, had an illegitimate child. He became a murderer. He got other innocent people involved. Hey, let me tell you something. If you don't hold on tight tonight, you're going to end up quitting. If you don't hold on tight, if you don't put on that armor tonight, you're going to end up quitting. Hey, what I'm saying tonight, we need a church that's going to rise up and we'll go ahead and fight the battle. I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday into a wicked workplace sometimes. And in many cases, it is a wicked workplace. You hear the cussing, you hear the swearing, you hear the rock music, you hear it all. But what we need is we need some soldiers out there on the front lines tomorrow saying, hey, I'm going to stand there for the cause of Christ. I'm going to put on the whole armor of God. I'm going to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I'm going to put on the whole armor of God that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's what we need. We need some soldiers. I want to encourage you tonight to stay in the battle. You know, there's some of you, you may be just about ready to quit. I'm tired, preacher. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of the mockery. I'm tired of the trials. I'm tired of it, preacher. I'm tired. Hey, your preacher who loves you, your preacher is fighting for you. Your preacher is encouraging you. I'm on the sidelines with little pom-poms cheering you on, saying, keep on going, keep on going. I'm not going to start doing all these little splits or something. That would really be bad. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me, listen to me. Hey, we need a group of people. We need a church who say, I'll hold on tight and I'm not going to quit. I'll put on the whole armor of God and I will not quit. We need some teenagers who say, I'll hold on tonight. I'll hold on to my purity. I'll hold on to doing right. I'll hold on to the godly living. I'll hold on to reading the King James Bible. I'll hold on to the right music. Hey, we need a church tonight that'll always stick with the old paths. We need some moms and dads tonight who say, I'll keep on holding on for the cause of Christ. I'll keep on holding on. I'll teach my kids the right way. I'll teach them to do right. I'll teach them to live right. Hey, what we need is we need an army of soldiers. Say, I'll hold on tonight. If you don't hold on, you're going to wind up quitting. You'll wind up being a casualty. I know what I'm talking about. Believe me, I've seen it. I've seen it with teenagers, excited just like you teenagers. You heard the preaching. You heard the youth conference. You heard the music, how it stirred your soul and how it moved your heart. You heard the preaching, how it stirred your soul and how it moved your heart. You made a decision that you'd go serve God somewhere, that you'd be a man of God or a lady of God. You made that decision. Yet I've seen teenagers who made them decisions, but because they got comfortable, because they got... They didn't put on the armor, because they got very casual in their Christian life, because they didn't see the big picture. They didn't see how God wanted to go ahead and use them. I've seen teenagers go ahead and blow it. They go ahead and hang around the wrong crowd. They date the wrong people. And before you know it, they wind up doing things that they look back saying, I wish I'd never gone ahead and did that. I wish I'd never hung with that girl. Wish I'd never kissed that girl out of wedlock. You know, and it started fueling some fires in my life, in my heart. And, you know, it felt real good, and it does feel real good. You know what? My ticket to do that is right here. Amen. My ticket to go ahead and kiss. I have all the ticket tonight to go ahead and smooch my wife. It's right here on my finger. I have all the grounds of the world to go ahead and hug on my wife. It's right here on my finger. Let me tell you something. I know teenagers that sit right, who have sat where you sat, who've heard this kind of preaching, who are involved in a bus trial, who are involved doing things for the Lord. They were called to preach and so forth. And tonight they're so far away from God. They're so far away from where God wants them to be because they got comfortable. They wound up with the wrong crowd. They wound up dating a wrong girl or a wrong guy. Before you knew it, they did some things that were so wicked and immoral. And now... it's not that God is done with them. God is not done with them. God's a God is a second, third, fourth chance. But you know what? They can never be used to their highest potential. Because they got to a point where they questioned authority. That's a wicked, wicked, wicked attitude of the world, by the way. They got to a point where they questioned mama and daddy. They got to a point where they questioned the preacher. They started coming to youth group and they had this little chip on their shoulder and they started being rude and crude and everything else. And, you know, I am cool. I am somebody. Let me tell you something. Boy, whenever I see that happen, especially when it's a good godly young man or godly young lady, I know immediately. And 100% of the time, I know because I've seen this and I've counseled teenagers. You know what? They're dipping into some wrong music. Every time I see, you know, them going from a spiritual high, excited for God, they made some decisions. But let me tell you something, about that time that they've started dropping their guard, they still are in that mode where they come to youth group, and they still in that mode they come to church, and they can... I can tell. I've been around young people long enough, I can tell. You know, and I'll pull them aside and say, hey man, you know what? You're listening to some wrong junk in your music box, aren't you? How do you know? I'm not, you know... They get all defensive. You know, not only that, that music, it fuels a rebellion. That music, it goes ahead and destroys their mind, gets them thinking ill against authority, starts rebelling against authority and so forth. They start hanging around the wrong crowd. They leave the right crowd. They'll go ahead and try to find the crowd if they want to try to put on a spiritual front. So it's kind of funny, these put on the spiritual front. But you know what? Let me tell you something. We can read right through it. We can read right through it. We can see right through you. We can see that you're dabbling with friends that you ought not be dabbling with. We can see that you're sneaking some television that you know that mom and daddy says, no, 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 no. Let me just say this, mom and dad. You know what? If you can't control the TV in your home, just go ahead and take a sledgehammer to it. Amen. You know what? Because let me ask you a question. Is that box and everything that how do I say this? If we can, if there is some enjoyable parts of the television, and there are sports, amen? Okay? But you know, let me tell you something. Is that box worth the destruction of your family? Is it? And let me tell you something. You know, I don't preach a lot against TV. You know what? I have one. I have two. But let me tell you something. The day that that box goes ahead and hinders my kids, the day that I see them doing some things that they ought not be doing with it, and the day that I start seeing some things go across that box that ought not, it will be out of there. Let me just mark that down, children. It'll be out of there. You know what? Let me just tell you something. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Lamentations. You know what? Get this attitude. Well, it's not that bad. About the time, of course, Hollywood today, they don't have their separate beds anymore, do they? You know what I'm talking about. Go back to the old TV shows. You know, if there was ever a bedroom scene, husband was in one bed, the wife was in the other. Today, Hollywood has gone so far from that. And they show it. And we allow our kids all the free rein with that remote control. Whatever. Yeah. You know, they're going to see it anyways. I'm dead sure going to do everything I can to keep them from seeing it. I know you walk down the checkout counters, the checkout lines and so forth, and you know, man, you got to go ahead and flip the magazines around. Then you flip the magazines around. It's not just on the front side, it's on the back side. It's terrible. And we start getting a little bit nonchalant. We start putting our guard down, moms and dads, and your teenager and your children go ahead and see that, because we say, it ain't all that bad. It's okay. And you know what? Their eye affects their heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it's no wonder. It's no wonder because of our loose morals, moms and dads, because of our loose rules, moms and dads, that when they get up a little older, they start doing things with the opposite sex that they ought not do. You know what? A lot of it, listen to me, a lot of it stems right from the home. Hey boy, we better secure our home. Well, the devil will use a prince. He's the prince of the power of the air, the Bible says. You know, he'll use the airwaves all he can to try to go ahead and trick us. It's not that bad. It's all right. You know, they're going to run into that anyways. Hey, parents, you know what? I have a responsibility, and you know what? You have a responsibility to do everything you can to keep your kids from that junk, from pornography, from some wicked Hollywood shows, from things that ought not be there. You better be very, very careful. You better be very careful. That was a rabbit. I think I almost caught up with him, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? Tonight, listen. Listen. You know, we need soldiers today. I'm not talking about the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine going to Iraq. I'm talking about there's a spiritual battle going on. We've got way too many casualties today. We've got way too many that just quit. They get tired of the battle. They just kind of go down over the bank and just forget it. They roll over and die. They don't want to do it anymore. They let stuff get in the way. They let whatever the case may be. Talk about good godly men and ladies. I'm talking about families that were once darkening the doorstep of the church, that were raising they're excited about everything that was going on. They were raising their kids for the cause of Christ. They were doing right. But somewhere along the way, they got tired. They started loosening up their guard. They started loosening up their morals. They started taking off, if you will, the armor and so forth. And today there's casualty in the family. Hey, what we need today is we need some soldiers to step up. We need some folks. I want to encourage you tonight, hold on tight and don't quit. I understand the wiles of the enemy. I understand he's a trickster. He'll lie to you. He'll think this is a waste of time. Yeah, he will. Sunday night? Oh, come on. The Super Bowl's on. Not yet, but Super Bowl's on. Where will you be Super Bowl night? If the Patriots play Super Bowl night, where will you be? Well, come on, you know, come on. It's not that. It's only one service. You know what? People do not just fall out of church necessarily just like that. It starts somewhere. It starts with one service. You know, an alcoholic doesn't become an alcoholic until they take the first drink. A smoker doesn't go ahead and become addicted to nicotine until they take that first smoke. A church member doesn't start dropping out of church until they take their first absence. Amen. And the devil go ahead and whisper and say, yeah, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You know, listen, you know, if I could just say this. And again, I'd be very careful if the response in your heart is, well, I don't need this tonight because I'm here every Sunday night. I'm here almost every single Wednesday. That's good, and I thank you for that. God's going to bless you for that. But boy, you better be very careful if you get kind of this attitude. Well, you know, it's not really for me tonight. It's not that big a deal. You know, I'm here. I just kind of tuck it away, and so we better be very, very careful. Because that's generally an indicator that you're starting to loosen up a little bit. Let me tell you something. The moment the devil sees you dropping your guard, boy, let me tell you something. He's going to take that bow and arrow. And he's a pretty good shooter. And he's going to find that crevice. And he's going to say, gotcha. Gotcha. You know, boy, I love church. I just love church. Say, well, preacher, you ought to love church. You're the pastor, yeah. You know, we decided a long time ago, even before I was pastoring, that we're just going to be in church. And if I may say, and I'm trying, you know, I don't want to sound boastful, but you know what? My kids have been better off for it. Moms and dads, listen to me. And you know, if you're here consistently, you're here, and you put that guard on, and your kids see that. They see your excitement for the Lord. They see your devotional time. They see your walk with God. They see that you're excited about the things of God and so forth. They see all that. They know that you're in church. And let me tell you something, boy, you're doing a whole lot of good for your kids. You keep on being consistent. Don't let inconsistency get it. Well, you know what? Don't start just missing one. Don't start just missing one Bible reading time. You know what? You don't stop reading your Bible until you take that first time and put it away. It doesn't just happen. You know what? You get in the habit of reading the Bible, and that first time that, well, I don't have time today. Let me tell you something. The devil do everything he can to say, you don't have time tomorrow either. And before you know it, you're spiritually hungry. Before you know it, because you have pushed aside the daily feeding, spiritual feeding of the Word of God, you're stripped of that armor, and you are an easy target. Let me tell you something. You know, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, you know, you hide the word of God in your heart. You know what? And in the dark days, you'll be able to stand. You know why? Because it's a lamp. A lamp is something you put before. You shut off all the lights in here, and you turn on one light, whether it be a candle, whether it be just one light, a flashlight. You know what? What that shadow, that light is before you to help lead you out of here. You're in the dark valley. It's no wonder why we fail when the dark valleys come, simply because we have pushed away. And you know what? It happened by one time. I didn't have one time one day, so the next day you didn't have time either. And let me tell you something, that's exactly what the... And you know what? When the lights go out in your life, it's dark. and you're trying to help. Hey, what I'm saying tonight, you want to keep the armor on? Of course, the offensive weapon here is the Word of God. You want to go ahead and have a light unto your path through the dark days of your life, through every day of your life, you've got to get into the Word of God. I want to encourage you to hold on. Number one, let me just give you a few things. Number one, several areas I want to encourage you. Hold on tight and don't quit. Number one, hold on and don't quit when the foes dare you. You know the devil's going to go ahead and dare you. He'll do everything. He did to Jesus, Matthew chapter 4. And you know, of course, Jesus, he knew the Word of God. And every time he quoted Scripture, the Bible says, I think in Matthew 4:7, I think it is, the Bible says that after he had gone ahead and been tempted three times, after he had been gone ahead and been tempted, Jesus went ahead and quoted the Word of God. And you know what? The Bible says the devil fled. The devil left. You know what? He'll go ahead and dare you. You know, the big Philistine in the Bible, 1 Samuel 17:10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight. You know what the Goliath was doing? He was daring Israel. He was saying, give me a man to fight. He was out there defying God Almighty. Give me a man to fight. He was daring, if you will. He'll go ahead and dare you to go ahead, and the devil will go ahead and dare you to do things that you know is not right. He'll dare you to listen to the wrong music. He'll dare to have you look at that dirty magazine. He'll dare you to go ahead and look at the wrong shows. He's going to go ahead and dare you. David, he went ahead and he dared Israel. Goliath dared Israel, if you will. He was looking for a man. He was looking for a fight. He was defying God. Hey, Goliath is a powerful man. You know what I'm saying tonight? You know what? Hold on tight. Don't quit when the foes dare you. You must recognize a foe's power. You know what? We're kind of oblivious to the fact that Satan has strength. And he has power, if you will. He's not stronger than God Almighty. But when we let our guard down, when we take our armor off, let me tell you something, he's going to use that power against you. Hey, you need to recognize the foe's power. You need to recognize his power. David knew that he could not fight in his own strength against Goliath. He knew that he would not go ahead and win against Goliath. He had a faith in God. He had a reliance upon God. And he knew, he says, I know that God's going to go ahead and deliver me. I know, you know, God allowed me to kill a lion and a bear. And sure enough, he's going to allow me to take that big old goon down. You know what? He recognized the foe's power. He recognized the foe's strength. The devil is powerful. You cannot handle him in your own strength. So many trying to handle him in his own strength. We're trying to manhandle him in our own strength. Hey, you're going to go ahead and lose if you do that. Hey, you got to get tapped into God. I preached a few weeks ago. You got to get plugged into God if you're going to make it. If you got to live right, you're going to have to stay plugged into God. Teenager, if you're going to do right, you got to stay plugged into God. The devil's powerful, and you can't handle him in your own strength. And the very time that you start handling in your own strength, the very time you let your guard down, you become a casualty. He don't underestimate the devil. He's tricky. And we fail when we fight in our own strength. Recognize his power. Rest in the Lord. Trust in him. Trust in his power when the battle comes, in his plan, in his purpose. Resist your foe's attack. You know, you don't need to roll over and die. Yes, okay, you know what? Once in a while, the devil will go ahead and stumble, cause you to stumble, and you fall down. But you know what? A just man falls seven times, and he doesn't stay down. He riseth up again. You know what? He goes ahead and brushes off the dust, and he says, keep on going. Especially Cody, when he was a young man, young boy, you know, starting to walk. And even if he had little skirmishes and so forth, I know that when, I'm sure maybe in the back of his mind, when he had this accident, little accident, with a motorcycle out in Nevada a week ago, I have to think he's heard me say this 100 million times in his growing up years. It's okay, just brush it off. Now, wait a minute. I know some things you aren't always able to brush off, especially, it could have been serious for Cody, I know that. But once he realized that he's moving and he's alive and, you know, I can't help but think maybe he's thinking, my dad would say, just brush this off. You know, as he would start walking and so forth, maybe fall and start crying, like, brush it off, buddy, brush it off. You know what? You know what? Basically what I'm teaching my son, don't roll over and just quit. It's not time to quit. Now, had we gone ahead and done everything for him instead of him, you know what? He may not be walking today, amen, if we just, oh, you know, just sit there, it's okay. You know, he needs to learn to walk. You know, he may go ahead and stumble. I know that's funny and so forth. Obviously, laugh with me. It's okay. It's okay. This is a calm moment, all right? All right, but the truth of the matter is, listen, You know, you're not going to go ahead and help your children any by doing everything for them. You know what? You got to go ahead and allow them, you know, when they start to walk, they're going to fall down, okay? Let them fall, help them back up, and encourage them to do it again. Encourage them to keep on going and so forth. Hey, what I'm saying here, resist the foe's attack. You know what? We don't have to roll over in this army, in this fight. We don't have to play dead. We don't have to die, if you will. You know what? I'm encouraging you tonight. Why don't you just get up, and why don't you go ahead and gird yourself, and why don't you just keep on going? Hey, you hold on. Resist the devil. The Bible says submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You know what? You resist the devil. You know what? When the devil goes ahead and knocks you down, and he sees you getting back up, and he sees your dukes up, and your sword ready, and your armor is all on, he may go ahead and keep fighting, he may keep on fighting, you may fall again, but you get back. You know, after a while, you know what, because of your submission to God, you know what, after a while, he's going to say, I have no fight against this guy. He says, you know, submit yourself to God, in James 4:7, resist the devil, and he'll flee. You know, oftentimes we'll go ahead and we quit. You know, yeah, we've done pretty well. We fought the battle, but we just say, man, I'm tired. And you know what? And we fall and we fail. And just about the time you were ready to turn the corner in that battle, and you fought a good fight and you were going along, but you just say, I'm done. Just about the time you were going to see victory. Just about the time that you're going to turn the corner, and you go ahead and you fail and you quit, boy, you know, the devil says, ha ha, I got you where I want you. You know, you've given him victory. Hey, tonight, you don't need to give him victory. We fail when we get so wrapped up in our own life, what we want, how we want it. We fail when we don't submit to God. It's no wonder why we lose. We don't submit to him every day. God, you control my mind, you control my heart. Romans 12:1-2, read that later on. We fail when we don't submit. It's no wonder why we lose. We want it our way. We want Burger King Christianity. Have it your way. You know, that's how we want to live. You know, if we think that God's plan doesn't quite line up with our plan, we say, well, I'm going to try my way. That's not right. You know what? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we are His. We are God's. We belong to him. We're purchased by his blood. And whatever he wants to do, boy, you need to allow him to do it. Whatever he wants to go ahead and take away, you need to allow him to take away. Whatever he wants to do to help make and mold you, you ought to let him do it. Hey, you need to resist the devil tonight. Hold on tight and don't quit when your fear drains you. You know what? Fear will drain you. I got to move on. I'm going to just finish quickly. Hold on tight and don't quit when fear drains you. Fear will drain you. I know when you come to that Goliath in life and so forth, you know what? It's fearful. I got to think a little bit. Maybe David was a little scared. I mean, a little bit. I mean, just a little bit. He's a 17-year-old boy. You know. I know he's way more courageous than me. 17 years old, he's out in the field beating up bears and lions and tigers and all that. Bears and lions and so forth. And now he's in the front lines to say, I'm going to get that goon and so forth. I have to think maybe he was a little bit fearful. But you know what? It wasn't him. He wasn't confident in himself. He was confident in a God that knew that was going to help him. Maybe he was a little bit fearful. And when the battle of your life comes and when the struggle of your life comes, yeah, the fear, if you're not careful, it's going to go ahead and drain you. The devil used fear to go ahead and drain you and pull you away from what God wants you to be. And don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. And yes, you get up another day, you put on the whole armor, and you face the Goliath, if you will, of your life. You face the front lines, and you got to go there with fear, with confidence that God is in control. You got to go there with confidence that everything's going to be all right. You're going to go there with confidence that, God, I know you exist. I know that my whole life is in your control, and I'm going to go ahead and fight for you. Hey, that's what you need to do. Don't you get so scared that you quit. Don't you get so scared that you run away. You know, in 2 Samuel 22. I'm going to turn to it real quick. 2 Samuel 22. This is David here. It's a song of deliverance of you. It's actually a prayer of David. I'm going to read a few verses in 22:4-7. The Bible says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Now this is talk about David. David was scared here. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. He and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Hold on tight. Don't quit when the fear comes. You know what David did when the fear came? He prayed. That's what you need to do. You know, you need to call upon the Lord. So often I'll use Romans 10:13 as part of my soul-winning passage, Romans Road. But you know what? I got thinking about this. That's a believer's prayer too. It's not just for the unsaved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know what? Think about it from the other point of view a minute. When you feel drained, you know what? Call whosoever you shall call upon the name of the Lord. Yeah, you're saved from hell. But you know, the very God that saved you from hell can go ahead and save you from every other fear and every other woe that comes your way. You know what? You ought to take that to heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, you're saved from hell. But you know what? The very God that saved you from that pit of hell, he's the very God that has the strength to go ahead and bear up your burdens tonight. He's the very God that can go ahead and take the fears away. He's the very God that listens to you. You know what? When you get when you feel drained and you feel fearful because of the battle, you know what? Just go ahead and cry out to God and he'll listen. Help! He'll listen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's anybody. Bible says in Psalm 22, I read it, I used it this morning. Psalm 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, the Bible says. 1 Peter 5:7, I know I quoted this morning, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what, you need to just go ahead and throw them burdens to Jesus Christ. And you know what, if he can go ahead and save the whole sins of the world, I think he can go ahead and bear your burden too. I think he can go ahead and take care of that fear that you have in the battle too. I think he can go ahead and see you through the battle. Hey, when times, you know what, when I get drained, when I get fearful, when I sometimes just don't know what to do, I need to get alone. Let me tell you something, and it becomes a precious time. I'm not trying to sound super spiritual, but I'm just telling you exactly what I need to do. And whenever I feel a little fearful and I'm a little scared, I just don't know what's going to happen, and I feel a little drained because of fear, you know, I get alone with God. I go to some secluded area. I have a place that I go. I found a place. I just go to a place, and there are times I just have to say, God, help me! And I'll go ahead and just yell it out to the mountaintops. I will. I'll yell it out loud. And you know what? It becomes a nice, a wonderful season of prayer. And I don't leave until I get an answer. That's the problem. Generally, we just get on our knees and, I'll pray about it. Dear Jesus, help me with this. Help me with my bills. Help me, help me, help me. That's fine. If that's all you can pray at that particular time, fine. But you know what? Sometimes we leave a little bit too soon. Boy, why don't you go ahead and take a season of prayer over that burden that's been hounding you, that fear that's been hounding you, and it's been poking at you and poking at you. And why don't you just go ahead and you and God just alone, shut everything down. Get away from everybody. You know, your wife may wonder, where in the world are you? It's okay, I'm with God. And you just alone, don't you leave until you get an answer from God. He'll give you the answer if you trust him by faith. You know, he is your strength. He's on your side. You know, you need to charge the enemy by faith. I don't have a whole lot of time here. You know, David was confident. He wasn't self-confident, but he was God-confident. He was God-confident. You need to charge the enemy by faith. That's what David did. He charged the enemy by faith. When you go to battle, have confidence in God. You know, God will fight for you. You know what? When they came to the Red Sea, the children of Israel came to the Red Sea. You know what? They had the enemy behind them. They had the big Red Sea ahead of before them. Didn't know what to do. They were frantic. They were critical. They were mean. They were murmuring. They were complaining. We shouldn't have never, you know, all this stuff. And Moses went to God. God told him what to do. And you know what he said in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14? He goes ahead and tells them that God will fight for you. God will fight for you, Exodus 14, 14. You know, the very same God that can go ahead and deliver Israel across the Red Sea on dry ground will dry up your ground as well. He'll take care of your need. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We have this lack of faith. And because of our lack of faith, we just feel like we just get tired and we get weary. We don't put the effort forward in putting on the armor, if you will, and we become a casualty. Hey, we need to hold on tight tonight. We need to hold on tight. I can't go ahead and go any further, but hold on tight and don't quit when fellow soldiers desert you. You know, people will bail. It can be discouraging when that happens too. People will bail out. I got a call the other day from a friend of mine. He just wanted me to pray for him. And he was a pastor friend, and he says another pastor friend of his went up to him and said, "I'm quitting the ministry. I'm done." Has started a church, has a little thing going there and moving along a little bit, and he just goes ahead and says, "I'm quitting. I'm done." And you know what? That bothers me. But I'm not going to let it bother me so much that it's going to affect my spirit and say, "Well, what's the use? He doesn't think it can be done. You know, I'm not going to do it." He asked me for it. He says, "Pastor, just pray for me." This guy, for right now, for such a time, he's pastoring a church as well, and he's going to go ahead and travel back and forth. I mean, it's not too distant for him. He's going to travel back and forth and pastor both churches. And I said, "Man, have at it, man. I don't know how you can do that." But for such a time, he wants to keep that work going. You know, and I said, "You know what? Listen, man. So I'm going to be praying for you." And God knows, and it's in New England, I said, "God knows we need churches. We need churches in New England that will rise up for truth and stand for right." And I just was, you know, we had a word of prayer, and I just told him, "You just keep on going. I'll be praying that God will send a man of God along the way to pastor this other church," and that's what he's just holding on to it for. He's going to call Hal Aronson. He's going to do different things to try to get a pastor there. But you know what? Hold on tight and don't quit when the fellow soldiers quit around you. You know, I told him, I said, "Don't let this go ahead and affect your spirit." He said, "It's a good friend of mine." I said, "Yeah, I know." But I said, "Don't let it affect your spirit, because," I said, "listen to me. God evidently has given you another extra bit of strength to go ahead and pastor your church for such a time in that church. And you're going to need to rely upon God. Don't you go ahead and look upon this guy quitting and getting done and whatever because it was too much. Don't you go ahead and do it, because the moment that you start focusing in on that, it's going to affect his spirit." You know what? Let me say this. I've seen people come and go. I've seen people quit. I've seen people tire. I've seen people just get tired of it all and so forth. They quit. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Don't let that dishearten you. Don't you do it. And by the way, when they do, if they do quit or whatever, that doesn't mean you're unkind to them. You know, you quitter. Well, you know what? When I quit from Bible college, and I did, I tell you, I didn't need the church going ahead and pointing fingers at me. Look at Sean Weeks. He's been to college a couple of different times. He's a quitter. No, I thank God they opened their arms to me. I thank God for that. But listen to me. When other fellow soldiers around you quit, you just hold on tight. You just hold on tight. And then hold on tight. My last point, hold on tight. I didn't get all the scriptures, but hold on tight and don't quit when the fight discourages you. It can be discouraging. You just win one battle, and it seems like the next day you got another battle. It can be discouraging. You know, Paul, let me just turn to this real quick. Paul is admonishing Timothy in 2 Timothy. I'm just going to turn to this right here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, there are going to be times you get discouraged. There's going to be times that you want to quit that ministry and quit that bus route or quit church or whatever. There'll be time you get discouraged. You serve, and you know, it can really be discouraged when you serve and you see people saved and they start growing and so forth and then they fall away. That's discouraging. I remember when I was working with a family, when I was running Reformers Unanimous, man, I was seeing some good things for this family. They were on my bus route. And I went by, started picking up their kids for church. Good kids. Just good kids. And then I got in Thursday night. I was out visiting and got to talk to the mom a little bit more. And I sat down right at the kitchen table with mom. And mom got saved. And that next week, she was on the bus. We baptized her, coming to church every week with her kids. She had a smoking problem. And it wasn't long after that, though, by the way, it wasn't long after that that I got to sit down with a husband there, and right at the same kitchen table that I led his wife a month or so ago before, and I led him to Christ. And they, you know what, they could have driven in, but they said, yeah, Pastor Weeks, we just want to help you out on the bus. And they rode the bus for quite a long time. Every Friday night, they came to Reformers Unanimous, and they went through the program, and she was, you know, he wanted to come to help support her and so forth and so on, and as far as her smoking and stuff, and she overcame that habit of smoking through it all. Boy, I was excited. Boy, I tell you what, that was just exciting, and they became members of the church, and then one day they came to me just all of a sudden, they came to me and said, well, we're trying out another church. Oh, you know, boy, I tell you what. I mean, I was, of course, the assistant pastor there, and my preacher, you know, knew the investment I was putting in. He says, man, I don't know what to tell you, Sean. He says, you know, of course, he felt it to a certain degree. I mean, they were members of the church, but he knew I was pouring my life into it. Boy, I was seeing great things, and we were getting so close. I mean, that next year, we would have had their kids in Christian school, too. We were talking about it. And you know what? Yeah, boy, that discouraged. I remember that discouraged me. That was early on in my ministry. That discouraged me. You got to be careful. You know, you see people come and go. You know, you got to be careful not to let it get you down. You got to be careful not to let it discourage you to a point where you quit. You know, the devil kind of like to use that as a tool too. Oh, so and so quit. They quit that ministry. They quit that bus route. They quit this. They quit this. Whatever the case may be, they fell out of the will of God. Whatever the case may be, if you're not careful, you know, devil use that. Well, you know what? They don't think it's that important. It must not be that important to you either. Boy, he gets us in that line of thinking. Boy, he's got us. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." He's talking to a young Timothy now. Here's aged Paul talking to a young Timothy, admonishing him, encouraging him. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Timothy, you know what? Listen, I've been in the ministry long enough. I've seen some things. Boy, I've been scorned. I've been stoned. I've had people throw stones at me. I have been scourged. I've had to sneak out of windows. I mean, Timothy, the time's going to come. The time's going to come. The time's going to come. You're going to endure some hardships. You're going to face some hardships. And they shall turn away. They're going to mock you. But watch thou in all things, he says. Like a dad speaking to his son, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. You know what Paul is saying there? Timothy, listen, there's going to be some struggles coming. I'm just about ready to die. But Timothy, you know what? I want you. You know, when them problems come, when them struggles come, and they will, Timothy. Right now, the ministry seems fun. You're a young man. You're preaching. You've seen some great things happen. You travel over. You've seen some great things happen. But let me tell you something. There's going to be some problems. There's going to be some problems, Timothy. But I want you to endure them afflictions. I don't want you to get discouraged. I want you to go ahead and endure. You got to expect the adversity and endure the afflictions and realize that Jesus is coming back. And listen, Timothy, I want you, when you get my age, to maybe write a letter like this to some son in the ministry that you've been training. I want you to be able to go ahead and say to that son in the ministry, that child in the ministry, like I'm saying to you, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. Listen, moms and dads, the devil's out to get you home. He's out to get you home. He'll do everything he can to try to discourage you from... You know, you can't raise your children that way in church. It's working pretty good with a whole bunch of youngsters here tonight. Amen? Amen. Your children are with you tonight. Mom and Dad, you keep it up. You've got some control. You've got control, you know, all the control in your home. You've got control of that TV box. You've got control of the music in your home. Moms and dads, if that's how it is in your home, you keep it up. You keep on doing right. Don't you get discouraged. You know, people go ahead and, these parenting people, well, you know what, when they get to a certain, they're going to have to experiment a little bit. No, they don't. They don't have to experiment. They don't have to experiment with the world. You know, the world will say, you know, well, you know, just let them do their own thing and hopefully they'll turn out. No, 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 no. Moms and dads, don't you get discouraged when people whisper, you know, church isn't all that important. The ministry's not all that important. Don't you let it happen. Teenagers, don't get discouraged. I know that in such a day. You know, let me just say this. I pray for all you teenagers and all you young people. You know, many different young people here. Some are in Christian school and some are in public school. And let me tell you something. There's a bad crowd everywhere you go. Bad crowd everywhere you go. But you know what? Knowing that some of you are in the public school, I know, I've been to public school, and I've walked through the public schools in recent years. I know what you're facing. And I know it's got to be difficult. You hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a Wednesday night, and a Tuesday night, and you want to stay pure, you want to do right, you've made some holy decisions before God, and I know it's got to be difficult, and I know it can be discouraging. But as your preacher, as an older preacher to a younger preacher, Paul said to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. As your preacher, I hope and I pray that by the almighty grace of God, I'll stand true. I'll be an example. I hope that you can look, say, my preacher, he's fighting a good fight. He's kept the faith. He's not quitting when the devil goes ahead and tries to put some oppression and some pressure on him. He keeps on going. He keeps on going. He keeps on going. I hope, as Paul said to young Timothy, that you can look back and say, and you can write, and you can look back and say, I kept the faith. I finished my course. That other statement, it left me. I hope that you see that in your preacher. Moms and dads, I hope that your children see that in you. I hope they see you fighting the fight and keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not discouraged. You better be careful. You know, endure afflictions. You know, you got to expect adversity, but you endure afflictions tonight. Hold on tight and don't quit. The next generation needs us. They need us. The young people in this room tonight, moms and dads, they need us to stand true and stand strong. I understand that more than anything. As pastor, I know they need me to stand true and to stand strong. If I just go ahead and get carried away with every wind of doctrine and whatever happens, happens, you know. No, 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 no. We need to fight a good fight. Tonight, my whole challenge is hold on tight. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't get nonchalant. Don't get comfortable. Put it on every day. Whether you feel you need it or not, put it on, put it on, put it on, so that you may be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. Hold on. Don't quit. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. The very best I could, I gave what I could here tonight. God, I love this church. I love these people. I love these families, God. It's just so exciting to see moms and dads here with their children tonight. God, it's exciting to see young people here carrying on the gospel and serving you in every capacity of this church. I pray, God, that we would, as leaders, stand up and be faithful. Be faithful to your service. Be good examples to our younger people. I pray, God, that every single day that we will be mindful of putting on the whole armor of God, that we can withstand the evil day, that we can escape the wiles of the devil, that we can withstand against the devil himself. I pray, dear God, that you'd give us strength to do so. Pray you'd give us character to do so. Pray, Lord, that you'd just give us wisdom and guidance each and every day of our life. Help us to be the kind of church you want us to be. Help us to be the kind of mama and daddy and a Sunday school teacher, bus worker. Help us to be what you want us to be. But if we're going to be what you want us to be, ultimately, it starts by keeping that armor on. Not getting comfortable. Not getting discouraged. Not quitting. I pray, God, tonight that we'll just hold on. Heads about, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Maybe here tonight. Maybe here tonight God spoke to your heart some way, somehow. Maybe moms and dad, maybe families need to pray together. I don't know what it is, but maybe you feel like you're slipping. Maybe you feel like, I just don't want to hold on anymore. I'm encouraging you as your pastor. We need you in the battle tonight. We need you to go ahead and grab a hold of that sword, if you will, and grab a hold of that sword and work that sword and memorize that sword and hide it in your heart. Let it be a lamp unto your feet. Let it be a light unto your path. Hey, we need moms and dads tonight in the battle and staying in the battle. We need teenagers tonight that'll stay in the battle. We need children tonight that'll stay in the battle. We need bus workers tonight that'll stay in the battle. We need Sunday school teachers that'll stay in the battle. We just need, we need Christians tonight that say, you know what? I'm going to stay on the front lines no matter what it takes. Yes, I may fall down, but bless God, I'm going to get back up, I'm going to brush it off, and I'm going to keep on going. That's what we need. Maybe you're down tonight. You got here just barely this evening. Man, you know what? God wants you tonight. He wants you to re-enlist. He wants you to get back into the fight. He wants you to get this, erase that word quit out of your vocabulary, and He wants you to go ahead and get back in the fight tonight. If you're in the fight tonight, maybe you just need to come and get plugged in again and just rededicate your life again tonight. I don't know what it is, but the piano's going to play. If God's spoken to your heart some way tonight, won't you go ahead and move as the piano plays?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message tonight, Lord, to awaken in us the desire to keep on going. Oh, Father, keep that fire that burns within us, keep it burning, Lord, and help us to allow you to fan the flames, that we might keep doing your will, Lord. We'll keep doing your will, Lord, and following you. Following you because you've given us the power and the desire to do your will. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. It's so easy to become distracted in situations. But Heavenly Father, help us to keep our eyes focused on you. Thank you for Sister Judy tonight. Thank you she's here, Lord. We pray you continue in her healing. We pray that you also be with Brother Jim, Lord. Father, be with upon the servant. Help him. Strengthen him, Lord, as he, guys, give the doctors wisdom to treat his condition, Lord. And we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the preaching. We thank you for all that's been said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.